So today seems like an especially good day to talk about why America is still great and in what ways it differs from the nations that it has separated itself from. So specifically, about a month ago, I released a video describing a self-defense case in England in which a woman had stabbed her attacker and was sentenced for it. And you had some people who kind of wanted to take the case apart little by little and disagree about whether she needed to defend herself or not. I'd rather not focus so much on that, because what I found more interesting was those who would argue against the principle of self-defense, which is the whole reason that I actually did that video in the first place, is because I think that there is a cultural move in Britain away from an understanding of self-defense, and it doesn't surprise me that that's happening. In fact, you had lots of people who said that the fact that a woman was carrying a knife at all was an argument for premeditation, that she essentially acted as a murderer because she was carrying this means of self-defense, which is alarming and just terrifying in terms of that would be something that somebody would believe. Like, I've carried a weapon of some kind for self-defense for my entire life, including when I was in England. Back then, I carried a knife, and that was just very normal. It was actually culturally normal, which is what most women did. And that's in part because you didn't have access to things like pepper spray. It doesn't even exist, because it is illegal to get access to, so it's not like you can just go to your regular sports store like you could here in the United States and pick something like that up, and so it reduces your options. The woman in the video that I was talking about was actually using a kitchen knife, which is kind of more unusual. But that's also because you don't have access to all kinds of different knives like you would, again, here in the United States, or even in England 20 years ago, where you did have regular flick knives and that kind of thing. So then you come back to, okay, but the entire right to self-defense, like, what do we mean when we say that? Why does it matter? Because there's the thing, all right? Our understanding of rights here in America, and it was throughout the West because the West was Christendom, is based in something. It's based in what we would call natural law. And that's why I think it's interesting that England, I don't just mean as a governmental body, I don't mean just mean the government, but I mean the culture itself is moving away from an understanding of rights. Even though they still use the word rights, they don't mean rights. They mean government-given privileges, and it's for that reason that the entire understanding is obfuscated. See, what we would actually say classically in terms of Western thought is that a person has a right to self-defense because he has a right to defend the gift of life that was given to him, and because of that, he also has the right to the means necessary in order to do so. Because we have this duty to take care of ourselves, right, so that we can better merit our last end. All of those things are kind of taken away from us in the modern English understanding and in any secular understanding. Now, I do understand that there are people who are non-Christian and who ascribe to a sort of natural law understanding. The thing is, I don't think that works. I don't think that you can have a system of rights completely separated from an understanding of a creator. Because ultimately you have to say, where do the rights come from? Because if they are simply the options that you have as given to you or afforded to you by a government, then they're not actually rights. Now, our understanding of rights historically, and it really has been separated, even in American culture, this has become kind of confusing, but our understanding of rights was always that we could exercise our duties. Right? Even our right to free speech correlates to our duty to speak that which is true. You know, there's our right to worship, which correlates with our duty to do so, to worship the true God. These things, nowadays, there's a lot of people who just kind of like point to rights and they forget the duty part. But if you understand it in context, I think that provides a little bit of an extra understanding of where we're coming from. So no, carrying a weapon is not premeditation. Again, pretty much always carried a weapon. I've never hurt anybody because I've never, you know, had that need. Thanks be to God. But in principle, so ignoring that other case that we talked about before, in principle, of course, you have a right to self-defense. We have the gift of life that was given to us. But there is now this sort of growing cultural animus, and it also exists amongst the left in the United States against the notion of self-defense. Now, it's much less here, so you can sort of look over to England and also to some degree to Canada, and you can go, okay, this is the sort of direction of a secular society. And then you have to say, okay, so why is England going in that direction, or Britain more broadly? Well, I think you have two things, okay? So you have, we'll just call it A, which is the law affects what people believe is right. Okay, maybe you don't think that that's the case. You think that all law and the legal system is all downstream of culture, but look at the case here in the United States for a second of gay marriage, right? It was not considered to be a normal or acceptable or okay thing until it went to the Supreme Court. It was sort of a small group forced the issue to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court made its ruling saying that, you know, we should be acknowledging so-called gay marriage as marriage, which it's not. But in any case, that became the law of the land. And in so doing, the culture thereafter shifted so that now most people, as I think, I'm pretty sure it's more than 50% of Americans, think that gay marriage should be okay in some sense, even if it's, well, the government just shouldn't be involved in marriage, which is sort of the conservative cop-out. And that wasn't the case beforehand. But what's sort of normalized from the top has an influence on us. We don't like to think that way. We like to think of ourselves as more sort of fiercely individualistic, and we're not affected by what's happening around us, but we're human beings and we're social creatures, and we are affected by what's considered moral, broadly speaking, in the culture around us. That's why culture matters so much, you know? So part of the thing is that with England, with self-defense, the fact that you have it basically eliminated in terms of law, it's only there in theory, but I can't seem to find cases in which it's acknowledged in any real sense when a person, you know, kills his attacker and is justly doing so. It's just not enacted. And so you create a culture from the top down of disregard for rights, of disregard for self-defense. And I do think that affects people, especially over time as they grow up in that kind of a society. And then the second thing, we'll call it B, is the understanding of rights as having a source. And we hit on this a minute ago, but it comes down to if you have a natural law understanding of rights, which is what the United States, you know, was referencing with the Bill of Rights. It's really foundational inside the West. It's foundational inside of what we would call Christendom. Natural law is based upon an understanding of man as having been created in the image and likeness of God and being created with a certain end, with those duties. So in a secular understanding, in an atheistic environment, if you like, you no longer have that source. Man isn't particularly unique. He's not differentiated from mere animal. And because of that, really, you end up having the government as the highest being, because it's essentially the collective man, right? So you end up with this Leviathan figure. And that's what you end up having in countries as, I don't know, as major, as historically influential, as what we would consider first world, as Britain, now, I don't know, moving away from what I would consider civilization. And so this lack of understanding of rights, this lack of understanding of natural law, it all stems from an eradication, a cultural eradication of a recognition of Christ. Ultimately, it comes down to that. Here in the United States, we still have a recognition of rights. Yes, you have Americans who will, you know, they'll point to the Bill of Rights as sort of a source of rights, which isn't quite right, you know, because instead the Bill of Rights was an enshrinement of the rights that already existed. It was an enshrinement of natural law in the man's law, which is what man's law should have. But I think we should really be grateful here in the United States that still exists, that we still have that foundational piece that was so fundamental for Christendom being what it was, and also for us today enjoying such rights and such freedoms. So happy Independence Day.